Karen Hartglass, and you are listening to It's All About Food. Thanks for joining me. It's July 25th, 2012. And if you have been listening to me on a reasonably regular basis, you know that I've been in California, and I just got back to New York this morning. I was traveling on a red-eye flight, and it's always a surreal experience after being somewhere for 3 weeks or so and then coming back to a place that you're very familiar with. But I'm really glad that the weather here is quite pleasant, because when I left, it was quite horrible. And, yeah, so I'm back here in New York, and I got here early in the morning and really tired because it was on a red eye. And so the first thing I did was make myself one of these great fruit smoothies with some green powder and all kinds of wonderful healthy food to get me a little energized. And this is my story for the day. I don't know what motivated me or didn't motivate me, but I didn't put the cover on the blender, and a whole bunch of purpley dark goo splattered all over the place, and I cleaned it up, and then I did it a second time. And then finally there was some left, and I had my smoothie. And then just before starting the show, I thought I'd make myself a cup of mate, and I don't know what motivated me, but I looked up on the ceiling, and I don't know how it got there, but a lot of what was in the blender was now on the ceiling. It would have made Jackson Pollock proud. That's what happens when you don't get enough sleep. Sleep is so important. And if you're wondering why you're tired, one of the first things I like to ask is, have you been getting enough rest? And I hope you have. And I'll get some later. I'll be fine. And I wanted to remind you before we get on with our first guest that I have a nonprofit called Responsible Eating and Living, and my website is responsibleeatingandliving.com. I do another podcast called Ask a Vegan, and I just did my 100th episode last Sunday, and I wanted to let you know, because it was a really fun show, you might want to check it out. I interviewed a 13-year-old boy who was quite interesting and articulate. So you can go to responsibleeatingandliving.com, go to the Real Radio tab, and you can see the It's All About Food archive, which has all of my 158 shows and counting, and the Ask a Vegan archive as well. So check them out. Okay, one of the things I like to do about this show, you know, I love talking about food, and it's all about food, and I have an agenda, and that is to help people eat more plant foods, because it's so important for the planet. And I think the most effective way to do it is to tell stories. And I like people to come on and tell their stories. So we're going to hear a bunch of stories today and hear about food. And the first guest is Christy Morgan, and she's a vegan macrobiotic chef. She offers environmentally conscious eaters a variety of easy, palate-pleasing, healthy, and environmentally friendly recipes in her cookbook, Blissful Bites, Vegan Meals That Nourish Mind, Body, and Planet. Also known as The Blissful Chef, with a website, theblissfulchef.com, Morgan helps home cooks make healthy, delicious meals with seasonal produce, many of which cater to raw and gluten-free diets. Welcome to It's All About Food, Christy.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Yeah, well, you sound like you do everything that is really important to me. Making vegan meals that nourish the mind, body, and planet. That's all there is. It's all about food, and that's what it's about. Now, what is your story, in brief? How is it that you became inspired to make vegan meals and share them with the world?
Well, I moved to Los Angeles after college, and I went vegan after watching this really graphic video on animal food production.
Which one was that?
So, Meet Your Meat.
Meet Your Meat, yeah, that's a good one, or a bad one, yeah.
And I went vegan overnight.
Yeah.
And so it's a whole new way of cooking and looking at food, so I had to teach myself. This was 10 years ago almost. And back then there wasn't really a huge amount of vegan restaurants or vegan products, so I had to teach myself how to cook.
Mm-hmm.
And I met up with other vegans in the vegan community and went to potlucks and started cooking for other people, and I just really loved it. And so I decided to go to culinary school.
Oh, good for you. Where did you go?
And I went to a macrobiotic natural foods cooking school in Austin called the Natural Epicurean.
Okay. Were they supportive of a vegan diet?
Yeah, it was macrobiotic, so it was mostly vegan.
Mm-hmm, great.
And now the program actually is vegetarian, vegan, macrobiotic, and Ayurvedic and raw foods. The program has expanded to include all kinds of plant-based movement.
Austin is a pretty hip community. I know Whole Foods started there, and for Texas, it's probably pretty evolved for the rest of the community, surrounding community.
Yes, people are very conscious of their food choices and environmental choices. Lots of people bicycle and are into outdoor sports. It's a great town.
Yeah. And I noticed in the beginning of your book, one of the things I wanted to mention is that the vegan world is really a community. And I don't know how to explain this exactly, but a lot of us are on a mission, just like the title of your book, the subtitle, Vegan Meals That Nourish Mind, Body, and Planet. We have a mission. We want to make this world a better place. We want people to be happy and healthy. We want the planet to be clean and healthy for generations to come. And as a result, vegan chefs tend to be part of a big community. And I noticed in the beginning of your book you have a number of comments, testimonials, or support for your book, and it's a number of other vegan chefs in the movement, and it's really nice to see that they all come out to support each other.
Yes, it's very supportive. Especially in, anytime you go to a new city, you basically just Google vegan in your city, and you will have a wealth of people waiting with open arms.
Yeah, and thanks to the internet for that. I think that's what's really helped our mission. The internet.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really helped. Just educate people on, because there's just these old school myths and old school knowledge of nutrition and how nutrition works, and we're really stepping away from that, and people are their eyes are being opened to the fact that, dairy isn't really that good for you. It really is causing all this inflammation and all these issues that you may be having, or maybe you should just check it out. And we're just opening our minds, and through the internet, all these people are writing articles and just educating each other. So it's really amazing.
And it doesn't help that every week we hear about more and more celebrities that are going vegan.
Yeah, I mean that doesn't hurt for sure.
Yeah.
I don't like to look at celebrities necessarily, because I mean they're people too. They're going to make mistakes, and then they get more publicity on the mistakes they make sometimes.
Yeah, that's true.
but it definitely helps to get veganism and vegan eating and.
Well, I think a lot of people are afraid. They're afraid of change, and when more people are doing something, it makes it seem more okay to many people. And
yeah, it's normal. It's not weird anymore.
It's not weird anymore. No. Okay. Now there are lots of different vegan diets, and that's something that really surprises people when I talk about vegan diets, because there are many kinds, and there are some unhealthy vegan diets, and there are some that are healthier, and then there are just different kinds, and science hasn't told us if one is better than the other. There's just a range of different ones, and macrobiotic is one of them. Now, why is it that you decided to focus on the macrobiotic style?
Well, macrobiotic inherently is not vegan. The vegan diet, it means specifically to exclude animal foods from your diet and try to reduce harm to animals as far as entertainment, clothing, animal testing, all of that. So being vegan really isn't just a diet. It includes all of that.
Mm-hmm.
so some like raw foods and some other kind of things that look vegan are vegan just in a diet. They don't necessarily include all of the ethics that go behind the vegan diet. So I just want to clarify that.
Mm-hmm. That's
and
good.
And macrobiotics is actually not inherently vegan. A lot of people who study macrobiotics eat fish, and some
right.
of them eat other animal foods because it's not a one-size-fits-all diet.
Mm-hmm.
So I had no idea what it meant before, what the word meant, until I went to that culinary school.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually had no idea, but I feel really blessed that I did go to that culinary school and I learned about it because it taught me more of a whole foods diet. It taught me more of a holistic view on health. So it's not just about the food. It was about how it affects the planet, how it affects your organs, your mood, everything about you, your relationships with others. Food is more than just fuel to nourish us. It is everything to me.
Mm-hmm. Well, it is.
So that's what that taught me, and it taught me about balance. It taught me about eating in season. It taught me about organic foods. So I really feel blessed that I was, because I learned how to cook in a natural foods way. I never learned how to cook junk food. I never became a vegan that was a junk food vegan because I was exposed to all of this wonderful whole foods.
Yeah, that's lucky. You know, I've been doing this for decades, and it's been a long journey of learning and ultimately coming to a very, very clean whole food place.
And that's what I try to share with even vegans, because it's vegan doesn't mean it's healthy. So my mission is to help everyone, but especially help vegans to actually learn to cook and eat whole foods, because it's so easy these days just to buy packaged food or buy tofurkey dogs, and while that stuff is delicious, you don't want to make that all of your diet, right?
You know, you said that what moved you toward to the vegan diet was watching a video, Meet Your Meat, and if people aren't familiar with that video, it's put out by PETA, and it has some very difficult-to-watch scenes of animals in factory farms. And that's what moved me to this diet, the pain and suffering of animals that I don't want to support. And so many people see videos like that and decide they're not going to eat animals anymore, and they end up eating a diet that isn't healthy. And I'm with you, Christy, because personally, I used to say vegan was a lifestyle, but now after an interview I had a few weeks ago with Gary Steiner, I'm now saying it's a moral imperative, the vegan diet. It's more than a lifestyle. It's a moral imperative because what we're doing to our planet, the environment, animals, and our own health, we need to change the way we eat. And it's important to me for all people that are promoting a plant diet to look good and feel healthy and look healthy, because we are our own marketing.
Yeah, I mean, it's a touchy subject, which I've talked about before on my own blog and with other people. It's a tricky subject because just going vegan does not mean you're going to get healthy, does not necessarily mean you're going to lose a ton of weight and you're just going to transform your whole life. It can happen. It happens for many people, but there's a fine line that we have to walk between promoting veganism for vanity and promoting it for health and for the health of the planet and the animals. So it's so much more than just food, obviously, and a lot of people do go into it because they think it's going to help them, but I really hope that people dive deeper than that and
mm-hmm.
they experience the true compassion that comes from, you know, not eating animals. And
well, we're all on our own path, and the range of how deep we're going to go, or at the pace of how deep we're going to go, is really an individual thing. But
of course.
Yeah. But I believe that first eliminating animal foods from the diet and knowing that you can survive without eating animals really opens a crack into a whole nother world, and then you can go deeper, you can learn more. It's first knowing that we don't need animals to live.
Yeah, and that's a pretty big battle for people in itself. So,
big battle.
Yeah, I applaud anybody who takes any steps to reduce the harm that they do and the animal foods that they eat. You know, I think it's important that we are flexible and understanding with people and support people on their journeys, because really, everybody's not going to go vegan overnight, at least not tomorrow. So if we can get people to make small steps, those accumulative small steps really become a massive tipping point. And
yeah,
that's what we need right now. Like, we have, in order to save ourselves and the planet, we really need to we need to end factory farming. It's so detrimental to the planet and to our health. We all know that, right?
So yeah.
I support anybody who makes any steps, like meatless Mondays, vegan till 6, whatever you want to do, just do something, right?
There is momentum definitely happening, and more people know the word vegan and they're more open to it. It's not a foreign word anymore. We hear about it in movies and in media, and everybody knows people who are vegan, and so there's this momentum going on, which is great. But at the same time, there are other movements happening as well that are counter to what's happening in the vegan movement. There's so much promotion of eating pork and bacon and ham, and making it trendy and hip, and so,
and gourmet foodie, yeah.
It's kind of crazy. I mean, I just remember I was just thumbing through Prevention magazine. I haven't looked at it in so long, and they showed two different recipes. One had bacon and one had ham with some fruits and vegetables, and I'm thinking, come on, this is 2012. You still don't get it? But
yeah,
there we are. But you have, I wanted to mention in your book, one of the things that I really like to do, and I'm glad that to see that you have a recipe for it, is tempeh bacon.
Yeah, that's one of my most popular recipes, actually.
Yeah.
And you can find, and people can find that on my website as well.
Oh, that's good. Now, you can buy it in the store, but what I like about making it at home is you can really adjust the flavors to the way you like it. I don't like using a lot of salt, and the tempeh bacon in the stores is really salty for my palate.
Yeah, it is.
And but making tempeh bacon, it's so good. And tempeh is such a great food.
I love tempeh.
Tempeh, they use a lot of tempeh in macrobiotic cooking, don't they?
Yep. That's where I learned about it, in culinary school.
Mm-hmm.
So I would choose tempeh over tofu any day.
Well, what's great about tempeh is it's a more of a whole food, because tofu is more processed. Tofu is just curdled, the juice from the soybeans, pressed out of the soybeans. It lacks fiber, and then it's curdled and made into a cheese. But tempeh is the whole bean fermented, which makes it more easy to digest.
Exactly.
And it has a nice flavor. I'm not exactly sure why this is, but I find people either like tempeh or they don't like it.
Yeah, that's what I find too in my cooking classes. But thankfully, every time I do a class with tempeh, there's at least one person in the class that says, "I hate tempeh, I can't stand it, but I like yours."
Oh,
so
what's your secret?
I created tempeh dishes that actually turn people on to tempeh. But I've had people say that about other things. Like, people come in and they're like, "I hate Brussels sprouts," but then they have mine and they like it. So.
Well, I think that's great. I think one of the important things with tempeh, especially for people that don't naturally like that fermented, mushroomy, nutty kind of flavor that it has, is to marinate it in something. And it's so good with a variety of marinades. And plus, I think it's good, too, to hydrate it a little bit. It makes it moist and chewier. It gives it a nicer texture. That's what I like
exactly
to do with tempeh.
You should try my tempeh bacon.
Okay, definitely will. And, you know, there are so many things you can do with tempeh bacon. You can have a BLT and just so many different things. And probably you could put it on ice cream, just like they're doing at Burger King, right? Did you hear about that?
No.
Oh, gosh, they're putting these bacon bits on ice cream as a new Sunday sensation. It's like, really?
Oh, that's gross.
Yeah, but but maybe tempeh on a coconut banana frozen ice cream or something. Who knows? Maybe your next book.
Okay, you're giving me some ideas.
And another thing is you have one of my favorite quotes in here by Joseph Campbell, follow your bliss and the universe will open doors where there were only walls. And this is so profound. And this is really one of the wonderful things about this diet, this lifestyle, this moral imperative. There are so many things that are going wrong in this world today, and this is such a wonderful, joyful, delicious thing that you can do that's right, that makes a difference.
Yeah, that's why it's called Blissful Life. That's why I'm called the Blissful Chef, because eating this way really does make me feel bliss, and it makes me feel so good every day that I can live my true self and my compassion with everything that I do. People don't realize how important it is to eat this way because it's something you do the most. Like, we sleep and we eat. That's what we do the most. And you can make the most profound difference with your fork. And people think, oh, it's just food. Like, I just need to feed myself so that I can have energy to work all the time or something. But it's like, no, it's much deeper than that.
Mm-hmm. Well, once you come over to our side, you'll see how blissful it really is.
Exactly.
Now, did you have any specific physical changes when you transitioned your diet?
Well, I started when I was really young. I was right out of college when I started. So I didn't have any health issues. A lot of people go to this diet because of health issues.
Yeah.
I didn't really have any because I was young.
Mm-hmm.
But what I have noticed is that over the years, I keep getting healthier and more fit and younger as I age, which is totally the opposite of what most people do. Most people
right.
who eat a standard American diet, they degrade as they age.
That's right.
I stopped aging. Like, I'm in better shape. Like, I've become an athlete now later in life, and I'm in better shape than I was when I was in college when I was an athlete.
And what are you doing now? What kind of sports?
I can do more with my body now, and I can work out harder and longer and have super quick recovery times where there is no recovery time. I can just keep going. It's amazing.
Yeah.
I do everything. Like, I love being active. I do Zumba. I do kickboxing. I lift weights. I run. I did my first triathlon last year in September. And
okay.
I'm doing the Tough Mudder in October, which is one of the hardest obstacle races in the country.
Oh, good for you.
So it's, like, so exciting to, like, I'm like, hey, I can be an athlete now and on a vegan diet. And so I love going to the gym, like, wearing vegan shirts and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's really
so
clever
realize.
Advertising. Right. This is my secret, folks. Well, it's funny that you mentioned that because in the next part of this show, I'm going to be talking to Rich Roll. I don't know if you know who he is, but he's this amazing god who in his 40s just started doing ultra marathons and all kinds of crazy physical stuff, and he does it on plant foods.
I know, he's amazing. I love Rich Roll.
Yeah.
Yeah. But there's so many amazing vegan athletes, and they're all so inspirational. And whenever I meet people at the gym who tell me about their diets, I'm like, you really should look up Robert Cheek and, you know, Scott Turek
and Brendan Brazier.
And Brendan Brazier, because there's so many amazing athletes. Though there isn't a lot of females that are that popular, so I need to. Amy Pio she's amazing and she's a great athlete. But we need to get some more females up in there in, like, the spotlight.
Okay, well, you're training, so, you know, maybe you'll have to be one of them.
I'm not training enough, I don't think, but yeah. I like to talk to people about fitness, for sure.
It's very important to exercise. It's not just the food. You have to work your bodies. And we've just got ourselves in this crazy lifestyle of eating all the wrong foods and sitting in an office and then coming home and sitting and watching television. And it's all about convenience. And it's not healthy. We need to move, move, move. We need to be making things. We need to be moving our bodies. And I just hope that we get there. But you're helping to do that with your very lovely Blissful Bites.
Thank you.
I know that you've starred a bunch of your favorite recipes in here. Just before we go, do you want to mention any one in particular to whet our appetite?
People always ask me this, and I just love food so much, it's hard for me to pick. That's why I actually put those chef and fan favorite stars in there so
mm-hmm.
people could look. But really, I just love breakfast food and brunch food.
Mm.
I love it. Like, I'm working on my next book, and that chapter is like three times the size of the other chapters. I'm going to have to tear it down. I don't know what it is. I love breakfast food. I love, you know, tofu scramble, and I make a really good tofu scramble. I love pancakes. I love all that.
Yeah, it's cozy. It's comforting, and it's the best way to start your day is with some really good food in your belly.
And I actually eat I have a huge green smoothie every morning, and that's what I have for breakfast normally, but I do love to splurge and make brunch for other people.
Yeah, I think maybe weekends or for some particular festive time, I love taking out the pancakes or the waffle iron and making a really satisfying, great breakfast. I think breakfast does it for me, too. So I just wanted to thank you for speaking with me today, Christy, and best of luck to you with Blissful Bites. Well, I can't say it, Blissful Bites. Thank you for joining me on It's All About Food.
Thanks for having me. Nice talking with you.
Okay. I'm Karen Hartkless. Bye-bye. You're listening to It's All About Food, and we're going to take a quick break and stay with us because I'm going to be talking to Rich Roll and his book, Finding Ultra. We'll be right back.